Universität Hamburg.
Bonjour. So, I'm ready. I have 10 minutes to go. And I'll be talking today about our HPC systems and why they're delivering more than petaflops. So before we go into the detail of that, let me remind you that a year ago, the same place, same time, we were announcing the birth of the first European teraflop system, petaflop system, sorry, which is called Tera 100, and it's been installed at CEA. It's now the number one system in Europe, and it's been so for a year now. It's a system, you see the peak flop at 125, a lot of memory, disk, and disk capacity, and throughput. And you see also the size of the system itself, the installation in the room is 580 square meters. We'll be installing a couple more petaflop systems. One in France is going to be the second place system. Will be installed at Gency. The machine name is Curie. And as you see, it has a peak flop of above 1.6 petaflop, and we'll know exactly more about this performance when it's installed in a few months. And then another similar system in Japan at IFERC is the simulation, the software simulation part of ITER, the fusion research project, worldwide project. And this system will be above 1.4. One thing that to be noticed is that the Curie is not only going to be only compute nodes based on the new Xeon core coming up, codename Sandy Bridge, but also it's a mix with SMP nodes and GPU nodes that are being installed as we speak. You see that also a lot of memory, more than 4 gigabyte per core, lot of storage, and you see also that it shrank in for more performance. You use less than half the floor print. Another thing that's worth noticing is that all these systems have a memory total bandwidth of about half a petabyte. So you got one petaflop and half a petabyte of memory bandwidth. Something very important when we're looking at systems and plus this system for that are supposed to run HPC application. And by HPC application, I mean the classical range of physics and science and chemistry simulation, as well as engineering with CFD and structure analysis, but also seismic imaging in the oil industry, or things like ray tracing, rendering, and new areas where we're focusing, data analytics for risk analysis in the financial industry, and weather forecast, when we'll be announcing pretty soon in the next few weeks, hopefully, a new project that we have on this area. So if we look at the workflow, the typical workflow where we start with a model, a problem that you're asking yourself as a scientist, and the full chain of you go from the pre-processing to take that model into something that you can use in your compute systems, and then you have the compute system itself, and the data that comes out of this is stored in this big file system, global file system that you, this is what you really use for, you're doing all this system, very complex system to get these results, and then you post-process and maybe you look back a couple of times for several iterations until you get the final answer that you need. If we map this to our current line of products, and you see that we have several, on the lower part here, you have several kind of products that goes from some pizza boxes that we use for login or service node, and then you have our blade product, very quite dense, and some so SMPs, what we call the BlexS node, super nodes, and also we have on all these different type of servers accelerators that we can plug in, but more specifically because it's probably a better fit with our blade system, and then we have some technologies that apply for all this, and that the architecture, mostly how we interconnect all the pieces of the system, storage, how we store the data, and then because these systems are getting quite big and are quite power hungry, how we call the whole thing. And obviously, all this hardware cannot run without any software, and actually we're spending a lot of resources on the software. And so if we try to map this, you know, the products with the different phase for pre and post processing, we can use this very large supernodes, SMP nodes. For compute, we can use, the, depending on the computation, the whole range. And then for storage, you know, this different nodes and also all the storage bays. And then for the rest is necessary for the complete system. That is interconnect, the system packaging, and then the software. First, if we look at the compute engine, the compute nodes, and so we have on the left the current system that is based on the Westmere, the current Xeon processors from Intel, and then on the right, a scheme of the next generation CPU, the code name Sandy Bridge. And if you go to visit our booth on 5/4/10, you'll see an example of that already up and ready to run. But when we design these systems, and we have here on the left, you know, the current balance between the peak flop, the memory bandwidth, and the interconnection bandwidth, we try to keep it, you know, as high as possible to get the same kind of balance between the peak memory and the interconnection bandwidth. So that's the first thing. The second level is how we interconnect all these nodes together, and we're using InfiniBand. And we're using InfiniBand for the communication of all the different threads running on the compute nodes. And very simply, you know, we're using our base system, we can build this complete fat tree with non-blocking. And here with 324 ports, InfiniBand switches, external switches, you can build a, you know, quite a large system with more than 5,000 nodes. So we use the same fabric, and we extend that same fabric for I/O storage. And so from system point of view, the whole InfiniBand here is really what puts the, you know, the system together, the spine of the whole system. And if we use larger external switches, 648, then we can double the size of the system up to 11,000 and more. And obviously, this is where, you know, the Bull software that we provide, you know, helps. First, the management, Bullix Management Center, just making sure that the whole InfiniBand fabric works correctly. Second, you know, at the runtime for the with the Bullix MPI, making sure that the application ran efficiently. And finally, the parallel Bullix parallel file system, which is Lustre that we port and enhance and on our system, store your data correctly. Okay. Another part, before I get to the end, is about, as I said, about the data center management and more efficiently the cooling and improving the cooling and the power usage effectiveness, the PUE. We started a few years ago with systems that were quite inefficient, with a PUE of 2, meaning that every time you had 1 watt going into a server, you need an extra watt to cool the whole system. With water-cooled door, we improved that PUE, so we lowered that to 1.5, roughly. And we're planning to get even further down, around 1.1 or even less, with direct liquid cooling, so bringing the cooling system, the cooling liquid, water mostly, very close to the component themselves. And even more, if we can reuse this energy, this heat that is dissipated, what I call cogeneration here, to heat some infrastructure, some buildings. And here is the next shopping mall that is built across my office. It will be warmed with the calories from our data center. So just as I have 1 minute for the last slide that is summarizing this presentation, what we're talking about HPC systems, and here I want to stress HPC production systems. The important word is production. First is we're considering all the application and how they stress the different aspects of the systems. The floating point stuff is just a marginal measure of the performance of the system itself. It's what you can get at very maximum. And we try to design our systems and our nodes, starting from the nodes, in the most balanced way, starting with memory bandwidth, improving, working on the latency, the interconnect, and the I/O. We're using this unified fabric for compute and I/O, the InfiniBand. We're improving the PUE, And we are also working a lot on the software because we need a lot of software for system management, for runtime application, and for your storage. And that software is going to be either open source software, software we develop in-house, or third-party software that we plug in. So overall, it's much more than petaflops.
Thank you, Mr. Panzera. The first inquisitor will now be Professor Wellein.
Thank you for this interesting talk. I consider BÜHL as the spearhead of European HPC technology. And looking at the recent developments in Japan, I'm wondering if you will introduce new hardware architectures in the years to come, away from x86 processors, GPUs, or Intel mics, or are you still concentrating on software, and this is the only differentiation to international competitors?
Okay. If you talk to my boss, I don't think he will agree with you that software is the only and main focus of our development. Actually, because hardware costs a lot, we're spending much more money in terms of hardware development than software development. Now, in terms of resources, people, we're about half and half, 100 people, 120 people, hardware development, and 120 people in software development as well. To answer your specific question about what we're planning to do in the coming years, I think it's, given the size of our business and the size of the company, it's difficult for us to say and come out with a another architecture and say that we'll be successful, and actually it's going to take much more than that. So we are, as you say, learning to walk first. And so we're focusing on our activities and research and development is on the other areas where we can make a difference and build our business. As I said, we're growing in terms of the different areas where we're focusing. We'll put still a lot of focus on all the, say, the public infrastructure, public compute centers, as we've done in the past, but we're also moving into areas where we haven't been present and mentioned, the risk analysis for financial, weather forecast. These are areas where we expand. And when we're doing this, we're giving ourselves the means to develop more interesting stuff. But I think for the next couple of years, you'll still see us developing a lot of our software and products around x86 and accelerators, and it's going to be more than just GPUs. It is already more than just GPUs.
The second inquisitor, please, Professor Matsuoka.
Okay, so this is a related question. So some people say that the days of building machines out of commodity-based components are starting to be disadvantageous. If you look at machines, Blue Waters, BlueGenQs, even Cray's, because they do create their own interconnect, which is much, at least to the current extent, is much substantially superior than the InfiniBand offerings. So given that your competitors, and in particular Cray, has demonstrated this enormous efficiency and scalability, and that BÜHL used to build its own chipset for Itaniums, which has been converted into one of your product lines for HPC. How are you going to compete in this space where proprietary technology, to some extent, is demonstrating better efficiency and performance?
Thank you for the question. The first thing I'd like to say is that, yes, indeed, as you mentioned, we are developing our own ASICs, and actually that's part of the product, the super node, the SMP nodes that are now available to our customers. And so this is the technology that was developed in-house in BÜHL. And definitely there will be second generation after this, the current one. And you can use the same technology to develop some proprietary interconnect. This is one suggestion that you made. The problem is more a financial or business one, making sure that you get the return for your investment. And certainly the development of ASICs and proprietary interconnect is very expensive. So at this point, we're still considering it as an option. And as I said, we're increasing our business, so we give us the means maybe to do such a thing.